First, we need approval of the agenda. If anybody have any changes or addition to the agenda? If not, we would, if there's no objections, then we'll approve it by consensus. Next is committee reports. First is ACAP.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. ACAP met on this past Monday. We did have a quorum. And first off, I'd like to thank the Corinthia staff. They set us up with a platform that allowed for our deaf member to be able to see the sign language interpreter. And in fact, anyone in the public who joined our meeting could have also seen sign language interpreter. So I want to commend them on that and thank them for all their efforts in doing that. We voted to recommend all of the action items. And that's it. There was no other business. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, James. Appreciate it. Is Chris Milton on?
I don't believe he is, sir. I believe we have James Aberson.
Yeah,
oh, wait, sorry, we just did that. No.
Yeah, this is Vicod speaking. CEC did have a quorum, and they endorsed all of the action items, and also several CEC members volunteered for the participation plan update.
Okay. Thank you. TCC, Mark?
Yes, the TCC met last Thursday afternoon. They did endorse all the items that are on your action agenda this morning. There was also a discussion about the congestion management system process, and it was decided to table that until the next round of meetings. So we'll probably be speaking with you about that in October.
Okay, thank you. It's like Pam. Pamela?
Good morning.
Morning.
I was not able to attend the TCC. I don't have any update at this time.
Okay. Thank you. The director's report. Mark, do you have anything for us?
Just a couple of items. The first, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention because it'll be obvious later in the meeting. We were sorry to lose a staff member over the summer, Stephanie Rossi, but she will be heading up the Lowcountry Area Transportation Study, or LATS MPO. So she will be attending in place of Jenny Kozak. So I believe she's also on the call today. Another item just wanted to mention that we do expect to be having a call for plans and studies again this fall in advance of the development of our Unified Planning Work Program. So we wanted to encourage our members to think about their planning needs around transportation and give that some thought. We'll probably be issuing that call for plans and studies in October.
Okay.
Okay, can you hear that now?
Yeah. Next up is...
There you go. Okay.
Next up is approval of the board minutes from the June 24th, 2020 core MPO meeting. Is there a motion to approve the minutes? If there are no changes or corrections?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Mr. Chairman, for the purpose of the minutes taker, would the people who made the motion or second state their names, please?
James Aberson made the motion.
Nick Palumbo made the second.
Thank you.
Thank you. All in favor, aye.
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 Aye. Opposed, no. The minutes are approved. The next is a resolution of support for State Route 307 corridor study. And Mark, you're going to talk about this?
Yes, Mr. Chang. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You will recall that we discussed the State Route 307 corridor study proposal at our last meeting in June. At that time, we added it to our work program as an illustrative unfunded project. So the action that we are requesting today would be a resolution of support for the State Route 307 corridor study so that we can make application to the Georgia PL Funds Review Committee. The applications are due by September 11th, and the meeting will be on September 28th when we could ask for the funding. The project would be, locally sponsored by Chatham County, with the local match being funded by Georgia Ports Authority. Administratively, the MPO would serve as the contracting agency and administrative project manager.
Okay, are there any questions of Mark on that before we entertain a motion? Hearing none, at this time I'll entertain a motion for approval.
James Averson.
Pamela Bernard.
Averson motion, Pam seconded. Is that correct?
Correct.
All in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries. The third item on the agenda for approval is the 2024 TIP project prioritization. And Ms. Wang, you're going to talk about this?
Yes. Julie, I would like to share my screen, please.
Okay.
Okay. As we know that, what is going on? Can you see my screen?
We see the website on the screen.
Okay, yeah, okay, that's right. Okay, our current TIP, the fiscal year 2018 to 2021 TIP, expires on June 30th of next year. So we need a new TIP document, Transportation Improvement Program, to replace the old one as the guiding programming document for the next three and a half years. We are starting the fiscal year 2021 to 2024 TIP development process. As the transportation management area, we are required to establish TIP priorities because we only have limited funding revenues each year. So we need to program those funds to the priority projects. As you remember, when Stephanie did the 2045 Metropolitan Transportation Plan, we actually did have a prioritization process. So the 2045 plan has already gone through the prioritization process, and I'm just going to show you what we did. So for this TIP development, because the TIP projects are just a subset of the 2045 long range transportation plan, so it's just we are going to program funds to the highest priority in the long range transportation plan to the short range programming document. So what we are proposing is just like two approach. The first approach is like for those projects that are already included in the cost band one of this 2045 long range transportation plan, which I'm going to show you over here. Okay, all these tiny floating is just really blocking my view. So you can see on the left side over here, these are all the projects that are included in cost band one. You can see project drawing in there, the bridge replacement at US 17, STR 25 US 17 are there. The Back River Bridge is there. Effingham Parkway is there. I-16 widening and I-16 and I-95 interchange was there. I-16 S-307 and Okeechee Road widening, Brampton Road widening, and the US 80 bridges replacement all there. And then interchange, I-16 interchange at Little Neck Road. So you can see all these projects in cost band one. And also we have set aside for operational improvements. We will have a specific projects in there, and transit improvements and bus replacements are in there. And Chumanini Park, these are the non-motorized projects, and then also other priority projects from non-motorized transportation plan. So what we are proposing is we will just endorse these projects already in cost band one as priority projects. And then to be more specific, those projects that are not funded by Z230, Z01, and HIP Transportation Highway Program funds will be considered a priority in cost band one. But for those three revenue funded projects, we did call for projects back in February, and the Technical Coordinating Committee actually ranked each application and then sent me the results. So I did the tabulation, and I will show you the tabulation. So the second approach is just for those specific projects to be funded by those three different funding sources, we would just use the TCC ranking as the prioritization to establish the prioritization. So that I'm going to show you over here. So basically, this is what the TCC ranked. We received the 7 applications for the Z230 funds. As you can see, the US 80 bridges replacement ranked as number one. Chatham County's I-16 at Jimmy DeLoach Parkway ranked number two. And Garden City's Priscilla Thomas at the STR 21 Signal Project as ranked as number three. And then City of Savannah's Traffic Control Center, number four, Chatham Air Transit Bus, Electric Bus Conversion Initiative, number five, and Chatham County's Old River Road Improvement Project. This is actually in cost band two of the long-range transportation plan. So it actually matches what we already did for the long-range plan. So this one is ranked number six. And the Pooler's Quaco Road Widening Project is actually not included in the 2045 Long Transportation Plan, but it is in the visionly, it is in the unfunded vision plan. So when Pooler submitted the application, they actually, the project actually ranked number seven. And then for the HIP funded Highway Infrastructure Program funded projects, and again, you can see the top three over here that matches the Z230 funds, because Z230 and HIP funds have some overlap in eligibility, so you can apply for both funding sources. So you can see Chatham County has got number one, and US 80 Bridges got number two, and Garden City Signal Project got number three. But these projects, if they have, while we are in the TIP development mode, if they already have the HIP funds, and we will see maybe they won't need the Z230 funds, so the rest of the project can get the Z230 funds. And then for the Z301 Transportation Alternatives funds, we got two applications. Chatham County, both from Chatham County. One is Travis Road Improvement Project, and one is Girard Avenue Improvement Project, because the transportation alternatives funds can only be used for trails, bike lanes, and pedestrian sidewalks. And both of these projects, Travis Road and Girard Avenue Avenue Improvement, will include improvements for the sidewalks and then for the bike lane accommodation. So for these three funded projects, so I would just ask the Cornpeel Board to just adopt this priority, because this is the established priority. And then we will schedule a special meeting. Actually, we have scheduled special meeting, special TCC meeting next Monday to talk about how to allocate these three funding sources based on this priority ranking. So if you want to see the detailed rankings from the committees, and so this worksheet actually has the detailed calculations and the tabulations for all of this. I just want to mention that as the public involvement process, we are required to have a early meeting for early property meeting for just to establish tip priorities. So we did advertise for this meeting as to serve as the public meeting. So I did see some public attending our meeting. So if they have questions, they can ask about this priorities. That's about it. Any questions?
Anybody have any questions concerning the priority list?
Hi, this is Bakara Malden with Chatham Area Transit. Is there any information that you can send to me, feedback in terms of why our application, which of course predated, or our project predated my arrival, fell where it did in terms of the priority? Just trying to seek.
Okay. Actually, I can show you my email that I. The transit, Chatham Area Transit has always applied for the Z230 funds in the past, and they have actually received all those funds. So during my calculation, it's like we have awarded more than $6 million to you, to Chatham Area Transit, but so far they haven't applied for those funds and they haven't used those funds yet. So.
Well, with regard to the electric bus conversion, there's just been a delay in terms of the arrival of the information. COVID, of course, slowed some things down. But the electric project is still very much in progress. So yeah. there's no lag or no stall, even if it looks that way on paper.
Yeah, it's just we actually backtracked all the funds that we started to allocate the funds to CAD since 2013. So actually Transportation Alternatives Funds was allocated first, I think it's 2014, and then Z230 from 2015, 2016, 2017, 18, 19. So in total, we actually allocated more than $6 million. That's only in the federal portion. That doesn't include the match. So only in the federal portion is more than $6 million. So if you haven't, we gave you funds and you haven't spent it, you haven't used it. So that might shed some light on the applications as well. So, I mean, for the past 7 years, we gave you funds, you haven't used them. When the TCC members rank your project, and they might take that into consideration. So maybe that's why, I mean, also the ranking criteria is one. But we did consider like the CAT assisted this hurricane evacuation. So you actually qualified for that one as well. So the ranking criteria is one. The second one is based on your past performance. So we gave you $6 million. You haven't applied for them. You haven't spent them. So that will have some impact on your application, on your funding application as well.
Understood. And we've actually put some things in place to go ahead and ensure that we're moving forward with our projects and whatnot. But I just wanted to get some information about what all is considered in terms of deciding where we rank. So I appreciate you answering that question.
Yeah, I'm glad to know that you have put in all the applications through the FTA system. So they're in process. You're in process to get those funds. So we will be happy for you. But it just
right. It's a process, and so I'm about 45 days in. So we've hit the ground running, but we do have a grant administrator now, a full-time grant administrator who is working on that. So not long story short, not to belabor the point, that won't be an issue going forward.
Okay. Yeah. That would be good, because I mean we received a notification that some of the funds that we allocate to you have lapsed. More than $100,000. So we don't want to see that happen again. We want to prevent that. So if you have already put in the applications and then you're going to access the funds, that would be great. So that, well, also I want to mention, even if you're ranked number five over here, look at this HEAP scores. All these three projects have been allocated HEAP funds, so they probably won't need the Z230 funds. So even if you rank the number five, you might still receive Z230 funds. So that will depends on the TCC allocation programming of funds at the next Monday's meeting. So we're going to really talk about how to program the exact amount to which project. So you might still get funds.
Okay, and has the information gone out so that we can call into the meeting on Monday?
Yes, I have already sent out the invitation, and two of your staff members have accepted the invitation.
And would you please ensure that I'm on that invitation list as well?
Yeah, I can forward that to you.
Any other questions?
And thank you.
Yes, this is Tom Hutcherson for the City of Pooler. I guess I have a similar question. I noticed that we're ranked number seventh, and I'm wondering, have we received funds that we haven't used? Where are we with this project?
Pooler hasn't applied for any of the funds before. So this is your first application, but unfortunately, your project is not in the 2045 financially constrained 2045 plan. So basically, your project is not eligible at this point. It's not eligible to be programmed in the TIP at this point. We did, in the 2045 plan, we did put in something for Pooler. That is, I think it's a study. What was that study? Yeah. So we did agree to do the I-95 at Quaco Road interchange study for Pooler.
Uh-huh.
And that's the only thing that we put in the financially constrained 2045 plan. But your Quaco Road widening project in the Pooler section is actually not in this financially constrained plan. It's in the vision plan. So it's unfunded. That means before your project can receive the Z230 funds, it has to be moved into this financially constrained 2045 plan. But at this point, this plan is already like balanced. So we don't see any possibility to move that project in the financially balanced plan yet. So basically, even if you applied for the Z230 funds, you're actually not eligible.
Okay, so there's nothing I can do or we can do on our end at this time.
Well, we can still rank this as a priority. So next time when we have availability, if we have do the balance, we have a positive balance in cost spend one, we can move this project in if it's a priority.
Okay.
So that still helps your future, like if you want to put it in, yes, that still help your future efforts. But it just at this point is being in the financial constraint 2045 plan is an eligibility requirement and you are not eligible yet.
Ms. Wang, would you not also agree, though, you really need to get that study done before you can really
to
go forward to applying for any additional funds?
Yeah, I think if Pooler applied for the funds for the study this time, they might get it.
Okay.
Yeah, but they applied for the widening project because the study needs to be done to find out, do you need the widening? Do you need the signal coordination? Or do you need like just turn lanes, intersection improvements? So it just, yeah. Yeah, you need to have that done first.
Okay. All right. All right. I may circle back with you on that later.
Okay.
That would be potentially a good candidate for our calls for plans and studies. So keep an eye out for that around October.
Okay.
Any further questions of Ms. Wang on this? If there's no further questions on the priority list, I will entertain a motion at this time to approve.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
This is Dr. Shabazz. I'd like to make a motion to approve the priority list.
I'll second that. This is Sean from Tybee.
Okay. Properly move and second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion? Indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. Priority list plan is approved. Item four, the partitioning plan updates for virtual public involvement.
Okay.
Ms. Wong, you're going to be talking about this?
Yeah, I can talk about this pretty shortly because we did our comprehensive update to the participation plan and the Title VI plan last year. And then we adopted all the plan updates in August of 2019. But this year, starting in March, we were hit by COVID-19. So that's why we have to have all these virtual meetings and virtual public involvement, which we didn't foresee in the original participation plan update and or original Title VI plan update. So what we are trying to do is just to start the update process again, because both plan update needs 45-day public involvement, public comment period. So we are going to update the participation plan and both participation plan, Title VI plan, just to accommodate, just add some revisions or language regarding the virtual public involvement process. So at the TCC, we actually got a volunteer to guide us through this, and the three CEC members actually volunteered as well. And then two ACAT members, ACAT chairman and vice chairman, also volunteered to help us with this, because we actually have problem with the CEC and the ACAT for the previous meeting, because some of the, I mean, it's just we have to do a lot of research about the platform. We used to go to webinar, go to meeting, and Zoom. For example, for go to webinar, if you don't have access to the computer, you have to like dial in, you got to have like unique audio number. So the first CEC meeting, we actually have a lot of CEC members, they were able to hear us, but we couldn't hear them. So there was a disconnection. And then for the ACAT, we have the visually impaired people, and we also have like deaf people. And we found out that without the visual, the sign language interpreter cannot be seen by the deaf member. So we have to use Zoom. So it's just, we are still, this is still a learning curve for us. So when we do this update, we are going to probably do some research and find out what are the best practices from the other areas. And then what have we learned so far? For example, what kind of platform we are going to use and how to accommodate like special needs people. So we actually just, got started, and then we got volunteers, and we will probably start pretty soon. Just to ask the MPO board to just authorize to just start the update process again, because I mean, we only required to do it like every 3 years, but since we did last year, and then we are doing it like so soon, so we need the authorization.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, who's?
This is James Aberson.
Okay.
Wycota, I will reach out to a couple of the national ADA groups that I'm associated with and see what they've what platforms they've come up with, the pluses and minuses for them, and I'll get back to you with that information.
Okay, great. Thank you, James.
Okay. Any further questions from Ms. Wang on this? Ryan, we don't need a motion on this, do we?
I think the board can just authorize the staff to do it, because I mean, it's just we're doing it too soon. Yeah.
Any objections to authorizing the staff to move forward? Hearing none, that you are authorized by consensus.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. There's no other business. We'll move next to status report. And next will be the 2021-2024 TIP development. Ms.
Okay.
Wang, you have this as well.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to talk about this because we have already talked about the TIP prioritization. So the next step is to allocate the funds to the priority projects and then develop the TIP. So I do have a like schedule developed for this. So we are targeting for December adoption. So as you can see, we're targeting to adopt the new TIP on December the 9th, and that means we have to work really fast. So next Monday we will have a special TCC meeting and to talk about how to allocate funds to the projects, and then I would develop the preliminary draft TIP probably, and in the middle of September, that preliminary draft should be ready to be reviewed by Federal Highway Administration, Federal Transit Administration, and the GDOT. And then after they review the preliminary draft, and they have 30 days to review the draft, and then they will send their feedback to me. And then I will revise the preliminary draft into a revised draft. And by that time, I think that will be October. And then all of the advisory committees and the appeal board will see what the draft tip looked like. And then we will start the really 30-day public comment period. That will happen in October and November. And then after we accommodate all of the comments and revise that into a final draft, and then we will adopt the tip in December. So basically in July and August, we have done the prioritization. So we have done this part so far. So we are starting the special meeting, allocation funds, and then development of the new tip. So by that time, we will have a new tip to guide the programming of projects. Let's just share with you the schedule. So this is based on the most optimistic thing, because there are several projects that are still, we have questions with. Project during Delaceps Avenue and Trumanini Park Trail Phase 2B. So that might throw this schedule a little bit off, but the earliest time that we can adopt it is in December of this year, but the latest that we think would be probably February of next year. So we will keep you posted on this if we hit any roadblocks.
Okay, anybody have any questions of Ms. Wang on this process and schedule? Okay, hearing none. The next item is State Route 21 Access Management Study in Garden City. And Mark, you're going to talk about this?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a study that was authorized by the board in February. It is being jointly sponsored by the MPO in Garden City, with Garden City providing the local matching funds. We applied for PL funds back in March. They were approved by the PL Funds Review Committee on March 30th. We did receive a letter notice of funding approval dated May 27th of this year. We are currently awaiting the GDOT funding contract in order to be able to proceed with the project. In the meantime, we are working on a memorandum of understanding with Garden City. We should have that finalized hopefully by around the 22nd of December, once it goes through their board and our MPC board. Once we have the MOU in place, we'll release the RFP and we'll begin work later this fall. In the interim, also, we have assembled the project working committee or study committee, consisting of myself, Ron Feldner, George Fiddler, Kayla Brown, Pam Bernard, and from the district GDOT office, Cynthia Phillips, Joe Capello, Troy Whitman, and Lauren Green with the school board. So we have a robust study committee, and we're just waiting for a couple of administrative items to get the study moving.
Okay, any questions of Mark on that? And then next is the 2021 update of the Chatham County Savannah Comprehensive Plan. And I've got Jackie Jackson down to talk about this.
Good morning. Can everyone hear me okay?
Yes.
I can. Yeah.
Okay, great. I just wanted to make sure. Thank you so much. I'm just going to take about 5 minutes of your time and wanted to bring you up to speed on some efforts that we're working on here at the MPC with regards to the comprehensive plan. give you a little bit of background as well. As mentioned, my name is Jackie Jackson, and I'm here with the Metropolitan Planning Commission, and I oversee advanced planning and special projects. And I'm going to scroll through a short PowerPoint to kind of give you some background on everything as we move forward. As you can see here, when asked the question, what is a comp plan? Really, I like to call a comp plan that vision document. Typically, it is a long-range plan that includes goals and strategies for a local community. The specific one that we are working on right now for the county and city of Savannah, as well as the city of Pooler, is reaching out to the year 2040. So we're looking out specifically to the next 20 years down the line as to what specific goals and strategies that local community wants to work on over the period of time. So as mentioned, this is a comprehensive plan, and underneath that umbrella of comprehensive plan comes a series of discussion items, specifically the ones that we are focusing on here are housing, economic development, land use, where you talk about zoning and compatibility, and then transportation, of course, which is why I'm here talking to you today, and quality of life. And I'll go into a little more detail with regards to quality of life in a little bit. But the comprehensive plan process as a whole is a mandated process and overseen at the state of Georgia level by the Department of Community Affairs, or DCA. It is a requirement that every community look at preparing, adopting, and then actually implementing these goals and strategies that come about through this process. Every 10 years, you're required to do a full update of your comprehensive plan. And then every 5 years, you are required to do just a general update. And what that allows the local community to do is maintain its qualified local government status, which is very important, actually, because you need to maintain your QLG status in order to tap into resources and financial dollars such as CDBG funds, GFA loans, or water and sewer loans, and in rural communities, One Georgia Authority funds. So it really becomes very, very important to the local discussions on how to implement major projects and capital programs as well. And again, as I mentioned, it is intended to really lay out that roadmap for the community's future and to be a transparent process. The Metropolitan Planning Commission has been in this game for quite a while. We've been overseeing the comprehensive plan update and process for the city of Savannah and unincorporated Chatham since the 1980s. The last full update of the comp plan was done in 2006, and we entitled that the Tricentennial Plan. Some of you may remember that. And then we've had minor amendments in 2012 and 2016 since then. The big thing that makes this different from so many other endeavors is that it is very much intended to be a community process. It is meant to involve community leaders and stakeholders such as yourselves, and then, of course, the residents throughout our different jurisdictions as well, really giving their input and views on what the next 20 years should look like for the local community. As most of you are familiar, there are key plans throughout many different organizations. Specifically with unincorporated Chatham, we have the county blueprint, and then the city of Savannah has recently adopted Vision Savannah. All of those key documents will be looked at, and then those priorities will be, you know, discussed and implemented as feasible, as it makes sense, et cetera, when we're developing the plan for the next 20 years. And the big thing with this, really a comprehensive plan too, is meant to be a level of, or set out a level of predictability for the local government, and again, to be transparency, so transparent, so that the local community knows what's coming forward with the next 20 years for their local government. What you see here is a table that the Department of Community Affairs puts out. And on the left-hand side, it lists the different plan elements that are required to be in a comprehensive plan. or could be required to be in a comprehensive plan. And then on the right-hand side, it dictates what those triggers are and whether that specific local government has to include that element. Well, conveniently enough for us, we have to include all of those. So that is why we're, you know, under the transportation element, we do have a core MPO, obviously. So we're going to be discussing in more detail transportation. As mentioned, we have decided, though, within Chatham County and the city of Savannah to go one step further, and we have included a chapter called Quality of Life. And really, this is where we see a lot of inner discussions between the county's blueprint and the Vision Savannah's goals and strategies, because here we're looking at community health, education, public safety, natural resources is a different element, as well as in addition to historic and cultural resources. And for the first time, we've actually been required by the state to look at broadband or internet accessibility for the residents in regards to the comp plan as well. So we'll be including maps and figuring out where the local community does not have access to internet and broadband. We are also including, as you can see here in chapters 2 and 3, some of that demographic information, the big vision and goals. And then in chapter 11, we're required to include our community participation program. And that's where we really have to lay out exactly all of the different ways that we have attempted to reach out to the community to gain their input. Specifically, and the reason, again, I'm here today with regards to transportation, as working with Mark and Wycota over the past several months and kind of laying out what the work program is going to be for the transportation section over the next number of years, actually, there's been a couple of topics and focus areas that have come to the top that I know that we'll be delving into specifically with the comprehensive plan as well. Sustainability is the first of those, and this is not just with regards to the environment. This is really sustainability of a local community, a local government as well, because we're looking at the economy, the society, everything. We are going to be pulling in climate change. We have hinted on that in the past, but we're really driving it home, I think, with this next one. And of course, encompassed within climate change will be sea level rise and the rising tides because of Chatham County. And of course, its location here on the coastal plain. And then, of course, resiliency kind of intertwined into all of those as well. And then lastly, what I wanted to mention was TODs, or transportation-oriented developments. And this is where you really have developments around certain stretches of roadway or specifics, what we call nodes, where you have that walkability and your activities and your public social services are all within walking distance, or riding, you're able to ride your bike within a certain parameter, that kind of thing. And so we're going to be looking at that a little bit more with regards to Chatham County and the jurisdictions in within Chatham County and City of Savannah as well over the next couple of years, outside of just the comp plan, but we'll be building on that as well. So you will hear us talk about TODs a little bit more in the coming years as additionally. I wanted to just present you with our timeline thus far. As you can see, it's a pretty aggressive timeline. The actual final required adoption date set by the state of Georgia is October 31st of 2021. So we are starting a year ahead, but there's a lot that has to go into a comprehensive plan, as you can imagine. We actually started working on this back in the spring, right when COVID hit, of course, and landed us a few roadblocks. But as we continue to move forward, we have a general kickoff timeline set for October of this year. And then from there, we're going to be starting to pull in the community surveys and community input and pull together stakeholder groups to have more of those discussions. As mentioned, COVID has kind of put a huge roadblock with regards to a lot of community input. Typically, we like to go out into the communities and have kind of pop-up top stops where we can gather in neighborhoods and that kind of thing. And we still want to endeavor to do some of that, but of course, doing it safely. So this will be including a lot of social media, a lot of website postings. What we've, as you can see here, we've started a branding effort, and we're gonna, it's at Plan 2040, and we've got some social media ready to go. Some of that has already started, actually, on Instagram, and we've got Twitter and Facebook. We now have a dedicated website, and we have a dedicated email address as well as a dedicated phone line where the general public can call in and make comments or ask questions or request copies of surveys, et cetera. We will be doing a pretty intensive survey right after our kickoff in October. And as you can see, it's gonna cover a myriad of discussion topic items, everything that's going to be in the comprehensive plan. So we are looking forward to getting some good feedback on that as well. We have decided to go ahead and brand the Comp Plan 2040. So this is an example of some of the colors and branding items that you'll see kind of throughout the Comp Plan itself. And I think that's important as we collectively grow the Comp Plan process and start including more of our jurisdictions in this discussion. I think it becomes then an umbrella for the entire county, and it makes sense to have all of our goals and strategies working together collectively. So as you can see, again, these are some of the handles, if you will, for Twitter and Facebook and that type of thing. And we're really looking forward to gaining more community input and more community participation with stakeholder groups, et cetera. So those are our big next steps. And again, I promise to be short and sweet. So it's a lot of information. But at this point, we just kind of wanted to get it out there that it will be coming in the fall, in October timeline, et cetera. And you'll see more of this at the city county level, and we'll request participation and feedback as we move forward. So with that, I'll take any questions you might have.
Mr. Chairman, this is Dr. Chaban.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Ms. Jackson, thank you so much for your presentation of Plan 2040.
Yes.
Just a couple of questions. When will the city have to, the City of Savannah City Council, in your timeline, when must we approve the plan before the October 1st, 2021 date that the DCA is supposed to approve it? How far in advance of that?
And I should have expanded on that a little bit more. I apologize. There's a pretty aggressive process that the state requires every jurisdiction to follow. Actually, when you have your draft comprehensive plan set, you will have to, meaning you, meaning the local jurisdiction, I will have to bring it forward to City Council at least twice. And then it has to go up to DCA for them to review it. And then it has to come back to City Council for a final approval. So there's definitely lots of time for review, but there's also a lot of time for additional comments and that type thing. But with regards specifically to timeline month-wise, we're looking at July of next year, June, mm-hmm. July, somewhere in that early summer timeline, where you will make your initial approval, then we'll send it up to DCA, then they'll send it back, and then we'll send it up again. So it's a very repetitive process, but that is the way it's required by state law. So right around, again, June, July is when that initial kind of process of going back and forth with the state will commence. But the actual process, again, getting city council feedback and that type of thing will begin around in the October timeline. But I plan to actually present specifically to city council on this process, the same type of discussion I'm having here in, I believe, August, September. I'm trying to get on the agenda now to speak to you guys about this process as well. So you'll know about it before October even. So.
Okay, that's good. And during that time, I really would encourage and recommend that you get in contact, communicate with our city manager.
Yes,
so that
absolutely.
This information can be put out on all of our social media platforms, our television station, and all of those things to be transparent, and also for a greater outreach so that people would know what's going on and to have extraordinary community involvement. Great plan.
Yes. Absolutely.
Dr. Shabazz, this is Melanie Wilson. I wanted to make it very clear, that we will be scheduling a work session with the City of Savannah as well as the Chatham County Board to go over the particulars for putting together the comprehensive plan. As Jackie indicated, we are looking at getting including a little bit more information. So we are in the process of working on having a work session with you all to discuss this.
Okay, sounds great. Thank you, Ms. Wilson.
And additionally, I might add too, we've also been working really close with the City of Savannah's departments, and they're helping us get out into the neighborhood association presidents and disseminating that directly through the neighborhood associations as well, all of the active members. And I'm actually having discussions with City of Savannah staff too, as well as county, about doing, as you mentioned, videos and that type thing to kind of get it out onto the city government channels, et cetera. So we've got some good communication on that as well, because as I mentioned, you know, COVID has taken a hit. So we're really trying to use all the different avenues as possible to get it out to the community for sure.
Sounds great. Thank you all so much for your work.
Absolutely.
Any further questions for Ms. Jackson? Mr. Chairman. Yes. It's George Fiddler. I was not able to hook up on the computer, but I am on the phone with you. I've been on the phone since Wakota was talking. Okay, thank you. You have a question for Ms. Jackson?
No.
Gotcha.
She did a good job.
Any questions, any further questions for Ms. Jackson? If not, thank you so much. We appreciate the presentation.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay. Next is informational reports, and we will start with GDOT.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Hold on, Julie. I need to share my screen so that I can open the report.
Good morning. This is Troy Pittman. Can you hear me?
Hi, Troy.
Hey.
I was opening your report right now.
Okay, thanks. So my name is Troy Pittman. I'm the district pre-construction engineer for the department. I'll be filling in for Mr. Byron Cowart until we replace his position. He's taken another position outside of the department. So I'll probably be filling in for the next several months. So if you look at the pre-construction project status report, starting with project one, State Route 26, the Geechee Road widening project, the plans are approximately 40% complete, and our right-of-way team is acquiring property as we speak. Project two is the F&M Parkway. The final plans are approximately 60% complete, and right-of-way acquisition is underway. Project three, State Route 26, US 80, Bull River Bridge and Lazaretta Creek, and also the causeway widening. I believe Byron reported on the last NPO meeting that this project was being split into three PIs. That has been done. We have one PI for the Bull River Bridge, one PI for Lazaretta, and one project for the causeway in between. And by the next meeting, I'll have those separate PIs listed on here. Project four, Brampton Road connector from State Route 21 to State Route 21 spur. Final plans are approximately 50% complete, and our right-of-way is underway. Project five, the Lesseps project for the bike and pedestrian enhancements. Our plans are roughly 55% complete for final design, and right-of-way has been certified for this project. Projects 6 and 7 are twinned. Those are the I-16, I-95 interchange project with the I-16 widening. This project is approximately 75% complete final designs. And as you can probably tell, some of the construction activities have started at the interchange and along I-16. Project 8, I-16 at 307, the operational improvements there. This project was just let to a build consultant back in June. Projects 9 and 10 are also twinned. So Savannah River Bridge Replacement, Middle River Bridge Replacement. The consultants are currently working on the environmental and preparing costing plans. Let's see. Let's skip to Project 12 and 13. These projects are also twinned. This is the Back River Bridge that will match the bridge we just completed several years ago, and the approach to the Back River Bridge on the Georgia side. We just had the initial concept meeting last week. And if you move to Wakota, if you move to the active construction projects.
Active construction, okay.
Yeah. So project one, the Jimmy Loach Parkway at USA Interchange and Jimmy Loach Parkway Extension. This project's approximately 55% complete, and we anticipate completion in fall 21. Project two, Islands Expressway at Wilmington River. This project's approximately 50% complete, and we also expect it to be completed in fall 21. State Route 144, widening project in Bryan County. It's approximately 65% complete, and we expect a fall 2020 completion. Project 4, State Route 25 at Pipemakers Canal Bridge Replacement. We're showing 80% completion based on our project schedule, but this project is currently open to traffic. Project 5, State Route 144 at I-95, the roundabouts. This project is approximately 25% complete, and we expect completion in the spring of 21. Excuse me. Project 6, 10 miles of resurfacing on State Route 25 from Bryan County line to I-516. Hasn't started, but we expect the completion in the spring of 21. And moving down to Project 8, roughly 5 miles of milling and resurfacing on State Route 21. From Smith Avenue to Henley Road. This project is 10% complete, and we expect completion in summer 2021. And the last project, Project 9, 3 miles of milling and resurfacing on State Route 30 from Effingham Chatham County line to State Route 21 is approximately 75% complete, and we expect completion of summer 2021. Pending any questions, that's all I have.
Any questions?
This is Tom McQueen. GDOT, Troy, could you flip back to the first page or whoever's driving? The Delessis project number 5.
Yes.
Could I ask, this is for MPS staff, what you guys are doing for the next steps on that. That's money that the board approved several years ago for this project, and staff is monitoring to make sure it crosses the finish line in time. I guess it's for MPS
correct.
Staff.
So I think that's correct, and I think the funding, the construction funding for this is in 2021. Is that correct?
Yes, we are trying to have the funding authorized by September 30th of this year.
Okay. Thank you.
Any further questions? Next, we'll have the Chatham County.
Chatham County.
Okay, Wakota, if you could pull that one up. Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So I won't necessarily go through every single one. Let's start with Quaco. The right of way out on that, they're getting close to being complete with that. Hopefully they can finish that by the end of the year. And so we should be able to go to construction sometime early next year. One thing, they had a lot of difficulty with the utilities, especially at the intersection where that where the widening has already started. We're considering kind of splitting the widening project up to just do the clearing first and then allow the utilities come in and move and to get out of the way before we actually start on the road construction. And that way, you know, because it's difficult trying to get the utilities to move in a timely manner, and then that way hopefully it won't hold up construction as bad. But anyway, but that project, the intersection project is ongoing, the construction, and so the next phase should begin early next year. State Route 21 at Tight Acres Canal, the culvert expansion. That CDOT's going to help us out, I think, with that project, but we're trying to get it out here shortly. So hopefully we'll get that out for bid in the next few months. Little Neck Road, we're doing a little bit of redesign near Al Henderson for the church driveway and the median there. Once that's done, and once the right-of-way is acquired at Quaco, they can start on the right-of-way acquisition on Little Neck. Islands Expressway and Waltar Road are continuing with design. Okay, going to the projects under construction, both the Truman Linear Park Trail and Benton Boulevard are kind of getting finished up, hopefully be done in the next couple of months. And so hopefully we'll have Benton Boulevard open to traffic somewhere around the beginning of October is what we're looking at right now, I think. Our actual completion date is September 16th, but that may have to get shifted out again a little bit. Johnny Mercer corridor improvements, the signal improvements through there are complete. And as I already said, Quaco at 17 is ongoing. That's it, unless anyone's got any specific questions.
Any questions? Aaron, I'm well at the city of Savannah. Is anybody, you have a question for Chatham County? If not, the city of Savannah?
Okay, who's talking with you?
Okay. Nothing from the city of Savannah. What about the Chatham area?
Mr. Chairman, Mayor Johnson, I don't believe we have a report.
Is it our mayor?
It is.
Great. Okay.
Okay. Chatham Area Transit Authority.
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman. This is Bren Dice from Chatham Area Transit. Our update is brief. We are working with FTA in our TRAMS system on grant administration of multiple grants, both competitive and formula funds. We have moved through to final concurrence on the majority of that funding. So we are looking forward to execution of those grants in the next 10 days is my guess. We are working with GDOT on potential flex funding for FY21 and are preparing a schedule to flex that funding as soon as TRAMS opens back up in November. We're moving forward on the renovations of the Susie King Taylor ferry boat, as well as our ITS contract was awarded as a $2.5 million project to replace our intelligent transit system. And we expect that project to take approximately 1 year. That's about it for us.
Okay. Any questions of Kat? Hearing none, we need to see if there's any public comments out there. Anybody from the public who are on? If you so, please identify yourself. Public comments. Okay. Hearing none, announcements. The next CORE MPO board meeting will be Wednesday, October the 21st, 2020 at 10 a.m. It will be a virtual meeting. Is there any information, non-agenda items, just for reference, that anybody have out there that you need to share with the group at this time? Okay. The CORE MPO response to GDOT's FY 2020 title 6 questionnaire and FY 2020 annual Title 6 questionnaire.
Mr. Chair, we have to do that every year. So this time we did it in August. Yes.
Okay. And then and the August 2020 TIP amendments modification.
And this is for the I-16 widening project. GDOT added some additional funds. They need to be added in so that they can get the funds authorized or obligated by September, by the end of September this year. So we process the TIP administrative modification just to process that, just to facilitate that process.
Okay, that's underway.
Yes.
And what about the United States Department of Transportation reply to the AMPO letter? Is there anything we need to be doing on that?
Mr. Chairman, this is Mark Wilkes. I can speak to that.
Okay.
The Association of Metropolitan Planning Organizations, which is our professional advocacy group nationwide for MPOs, I sit on the policy committee of AMPO with about 12 of my peers. This was a letter that we sent to Secretary Chao requesting, I guess if I could characterize it, some regulatory leniency with administrative planning deadlines that MPOs face for things such as requirement documents such as long-range transportation plans and TIPs and conformity, that sort of thing. When the COVID crisis hit, we were aware that there were a lot of MPOs that had planning actions that needed to take place, and just as things were shutting down. So it was a request that was sent to request regulatory leniency. The response that we got back was a polite deferral that basically said that they didn't have the legal authority to do so. Fortunately, CORE MPO is in good shape, having just adopted our Metropolitan Transportation Plan back at the end of the summer of 2019. We have no looming deadlines that we won't be able to meet because of everything that's going on with COVID these days. So we're in good shape. This was just a request from a national agency on behalf of all MPOs for some, again, regulatory leniency, which was politely declined.
Okay. Thanks for that, Mark. Mm-hmm. And the what about the COVID AMPO? There's nothing else to say about that. You've covered all of that.
No, we're there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there anything else that we need to bring up at this time?
Mr. Chairman, I think for the informational reports, we probably I only show the agents that sent me the written reports, but do you want to talk about the LATS and the HAMPO as well? I mean, Stephanie's here. I think.
Well,
the Liberty County is there here too. In the Garden City.
Okay.
Timing, yeah.
Okay. Let's start with Liberty County, then we'll go to Stephanie.
Is Jeff here? I thought Jeff is here. Let's see.
He was here earlier. I saw. He may have left.
Okay. Well, Stephanie's still here.
Stephanie.
Thank you. Can you hear me okay? I just have a real quick update. I know Denny's been giving you updates on US 17 now for quite a while. I just want to let you know that the week of August 10th, the project LETS, they did receive bids that were within the acceptable range. And their goal is still to have dirt moving by the end of this year. For anybody who commutes on that road, you might start seeing that. They're hoping to be through the contract process by the end of October. Also, just a quick update on the I-95 widening through South Carolina. They are advertising for a consultant this fall and hoping to have them start work in early 2021. That's it.
Okay. Any questions of Stephanie? Hearing none, is there anything else, Mark, that we need to cover before we adjourn?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Any member have anything they want to share with us before we adjourn?
That's George Fiddler. Do you want an information report from the airport?
Yeah, George, I don't know why I didn't have you down. Please.
Okay. Yeah, we're if you've been out there, you notice the air traffic is way down because of the COVID thing. But we have finished our terminal ramp expansion for overflow parking. You see planes parking off to the side now, and that's helpful. And we have finished our Federal Inspection Services facility, so we can receive foreign planes, international traffic out there now. And we have not stopped our terminal expansion plans, but it's slowed way down. So but we're still working on that. And that's all I got.
Okay. Do we have anybody on from the Port Authority?
I don't believe so.
Okay. Garden City. Does Garden City have anything else to report on?
No report, Mr. Chairman.
What about Pula? I know the city manager's on. Anything else from Tybee?
Nothing else, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Is anybody on from Thunderboat? Do you have anything? Okay. What about Bloomingdale? And then, anybody on from Port Wentworth? What about Effingham, Mark? Is anybody on from Effingham?
We did have Teresa.
This is Teresa from Effingham. We have nothing really to report. Hi, we have launched a T-SPLOST for the November, a T-SPLOST referendum for the November ballot, and that is our big news right now.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, good luck with that.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else that I may have missed?
We have Scott from Richmond Hill. He may have a report.
Scott, Richmond Hill, do you have anything?
He's unmuted, but Scott, are you talking? We cannot hear you. It's muted again.
Richmond Hill, is he still muted?
He muted himself, yes.
He muted himself, yeah.
Scott, can you unmute?
He's unmuted.
Muted again. Okay, he just sent a message saying that his microphone is not working.
Okay. All right, then we won't hear from Scott at this time. If Mark, if there's anything that he needs to share that that the entire group needs to know about, would you please make certain that we get a copy of it?
Absolutely.
Okay. Is there anything else that we need to cover at this time?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
This is James Averson. I'd just like to point out for informational purposes that July 26th of this year marked the 30th anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act being signed into law. And while we made great strides, we still have strides to make. And just wanted to put out there for informational purposes.
Thanks, James. Appreciate that. Anything else?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
If not,
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Dan Johnson, just wanted to extend our continuing condolences to you and members of the County Commission and the passing of Commissioner Holmes.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I appreciate you mentioning that. For those of you who are not aware, we had our second district commissioner who'd been on the commission for four terms, attracted COVID-19 virus and was hospitalized for 17 and a half days, and he passed recently, and we had his funeral last Saturday, and the mayor was just making note of it, and I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Is there anything else? Hearing none, then we stand adjourned until October 21st, 2020.